Yeah, Shin Yud Tes. And really, before getting anywhere, the general topic for this evening is going to be what occurs when we get into cases of separating good things from good things. Generally speaking, when we think about Borer, we're thinking about separating good things from bad things from good things. We'll speak about how exactly we determine what is good and what is bad. But at the most basic level, if something is objectively good, it's food, and something is objectively bad, it's not food, it's inedible, so then certainly we would be in position to say that that is a mixture that's ripe for potential borer. The question is, what happens when we have, let's say, two or more different items that are mixed together in some sort of mixture, and no single one of which is inedible? In fact, they're all edible, and they're all delicious, and you enjoy them all, you just have an interest in separating them for some other purpose. That's really going to be the main focus, at least for tonight. We'll discuss other parameters of how exactly we define what we mean when we speak about a ta'aroves. What do we mean when we speak about a mixture generally? What are the kinds of elements, what are the criteria that are required in order to say that we are in a position of possible borer? Before getting going with anything, it's critical to read the introduction of the Mishnah Berurah to Shin Yud Tes. That's why it's worth, if you have it, if you have an actual Mishnah Berurah, there's an extra one here. If anybody needs it, if you want, whatever, you guys can share, you can look on together. I actually have some copies also. But it's Shin Yud Tes, which I think is where the bookmark is on that, if you're interested. So at the bottom of the page here on Shin Yud Tes, it's page Kuf Lamed Tes in the standard Mishnah Berurah, equivalent of page 277. And the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. He says, "Yine, borer hu echad milamed tes avos malachos shel Shabbos." So borer is one of the 39 malachos. This is serious. V'chayavan alah gam kein chatas b'shogei hu misa b'mezid k'mal sha'ar malachos. It's just like any of the other malachos, which means that if you violate this malacha unintentionally, you're chayav chatas. If you violate it intentionally, chas v'shalom rechmanu litzlan, a person could be chayav misa. Uvavan osenu harabim. So, by the way, it's an interesting point to belabor, as we're already like waist deep in Hilchos Shabbos by the time we're dealing with Borer, in terms of the order and arrangement of the Shulchan Aruch. But the reason why the Mishnah Berurah is belaboring the fact that this is a real malacha is, as he goes on to explain, in our abundant sins, there are many people who stumble upon Borer without realizing that they've even encountered it. Therefore, that's why I want to try to explain it according to all of its details, all of its particular points. I'm going to first introduce this siman in Shulchan Aruch with a short preface, and it is as follows. Ein chal iser borer min ha-Torah. Midorais on a Torah level, we're not dealing with the prohibition of borer, ki im be'echon mishlosha ofanim, unless we're dealing with one of the following three circumstances. And these are the three criteria that if you've studied borer a little bit in the past, you've probably well encountered these, or if you've heard about borer in the past, you probably well encountered these. But here the Mishnah Berurah actually gives voice to them. Sha'az derech brurahi kein bechol. Because when we have these three elements, then we find that this is the way that borer would really be done during the week. Meaning that this is the way that borer would be done as a malacha. When we're trying to achieve some sort of act of constructive labor, this is what we mean, and these are the criteria that need to be abided by in dealing with borer. So number one, Aleph. In borer psoles min ha'ochel. That's issue number one. First of all, you need that you are removing psoles from ochel. You're removing waste, strictly speaking, and most simply understood, you're removing waste from food. Afilu borer biyado, even if he's removing it with his hand, v'daito le'echol miyad, and even if his intent is to eat it immediately, gam kein chayav, nevertheless, he would still be responsible. Shezehu derech berira b'chol levor ha-psoles min ha-ochel. So, issue number one. Is that when we deal with borer, we're talking about the removal of psoles, of waste from ochel, from food. Very, very simply understood, if there was actual, dealing with, nuts and shells. Nuts and shells all mixed up in the same bowl. Peanuts have sort of like scooted to the bottom, and they're all the peanut actual refuse sitting on top. So you remove some of the refuse in order to get to the peanuts underneath. That would be psoles from ochel. Number two, base. if he's separating with a kli, with some sort of utensil, shederech liver ba, which is the way that you ordinarily achieve borer. Kagon binafa uchvara, different types of sifters, sieves, and the like. Chayav afilu hu borer ha'ochel min apsolos v'daito lechol miyad. Again, even if my intent is to eat it immediately, and even if I'm separating food from psolos, right, which is better than what was spoken about before. Nevertheless, this is all, it's interesting how he frames it. This is all kind of like inverted in terms of the way that, we would probably usually explain it. We'll give our own summation in the end. But if I'm using a kli, if I'm using some sort of tool, some sort of utensil, then I have a problem on my hands, even if I'm separating food from garbage.
So this is a kli that's meant for separating.
Correct. Right. A kli that is used, a specialized tool for borer. Shekein derech haborer b'kli, because that's how we perform borer. We perform borer with a tool. Pa'amim hu borer ha'ochel min hapsoles kedo jenikve hakver daken ha'ochel hugas. Let's say we're talking about a sifter, sieve, colander, whatever. So sometimes it may well be that the holes, the perforations in that sifter are narrow, and the food is thick or the food is large, so the food remains on top and the psoles seeps through. And sometimes it's the opposite, right? Sometimes it's the food that drops through and all the psoles remains on top. Fine. Now, that's all midot raisa. If, Shlomo, the inverse of what you were talking about, let's say you're using a kli that's not really the kind of kli that ordinarily you would use to separate, but is just a kli that is going to be helpful in separating, that would still be problematic lechatchila, but I wouldn't actually be chayav b'dieved. What we'll see when we get there, and we'll spend probably an entire shiur dealing with what exactly we mean when we speak about biyad, and this we probably know, and we certainly know intuitively, is that when we're using the kinds of utensils that we use at the table, that's not considered to be anything other than biyad. This is considered to be an extension of my own hand, using a fork, using a knife, using a spoon, that is certainly considered acceptable. Final caveat. Gimel. Afilu im hu barer ochel min hapsolas uviyado, even if I'm separating the good from the bad, which is what I'm supposed to do. And even if I'm doing it with my hand, ach shadaito le'echel la'achar zman, chayav. But my intent is that there should be a delay. I'm not intending on eating this immediately. I'm intending on eating this later. What's the difference between immediately and later? It's unclear. It's unclear. The general parameters that are given, very broad parameters, is the term that's used is samuch l'sa'uda. When it is next to, when it is immediately before the meal that you're going to eat. So what's immediately before is it being, as opposed to being immediately before? Right, where do you cross that line? It's not exactly clear. Certainly, consider coming home on Shabbos, and you're ready to eat the seuda. So, shul is over. We're ready to eat whatever I need to do between now and then to be able to eat is all considered to be samach seuda. Just to make it very, very clear, as opposed to, let's say, prior to shul, right? Or the day before, right? Well, the day before. The night before, right?
Your mind feels like preparation.
Or even that morning. Before I go to shul, whatever I'm doing for the purpose of the se'uda isn't samachlus. It doesn't mean it's necessarily borer, but it's not samachlus se'uda anymore. So the way the Mishnah Berurah is phrasing this is all sort of like, these are the things that make it usser. Just to sort of distill from what the Mishnah Berurah has told us, effectively, there's three items that you need in order to make boer mutter. If it seems like and feels like I might be separating and I might be sorting, three items, we're probably familiar with these criteria. They are, miyad, needs to be for immediate use. Biyad, needs to be done with my hand or with an extension of my hand, like a typical kli that I would use at the table. Ochel mitoch psoles, it needs to be good from bad. If you have all three of those criteria in that, so then it is certainly not borer. Easy example of borer, an easy example of what's not borer. Easy example of borer is that, we'll talk more about this, I don't know, in a few years from now, I guess, when we get to dash and schita and all that, I don't know, we'll go at some point. A lemon seed. You used lemon as a dressing for salad. So there's a lemon seed in the bottom of the salad bowl, on the salad plate or in the salad bowl or whatever. And it's, you know, together with all the other ingredients of the salad. To remove that seed is an act of borer. I'm removing psoles from ochel. I'm removing something inedible from something that's edible.
Bones in fish.
bones in fish, bones in chicken, bones in fish, something that I'm not going to eat, something that's not desirous, something that's inedible from something that's edible, and they're all mixed together. What would be a clear act of non-borer, meaning what would be mutter? Let's say chicken from bone. Chicken from bone, this is like the great example that, right, that everybody likes to give. If you're holding a pulque or a drumstick or call whatever you want, right? Somebody's holding the bone, the guy on the other side of the table is holding the meat. Right, if he pulls, it's Onik Shabbos, and if I pull, it's an Isra Skila. So, welcome to Halacha, you know? So it depends on who's doing the pulling. But pulling the chicken off the bone, in order to eat it right now, that's absolutely 100% acceptable, no doubt. So why? If you're holding one stationary, then you...
I mean, do you have to, like, be careful to do that?
Yeah.
If you're using two hands...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true with a fork also.
Well, but you have to be if you're using a knife to cut the chicken off the bone.
So you have to make sure.
Pull, right.
You're holding the knife, the bone down with the fork. It's being like, can we like shake it at all? Like it's like a, I'm not saying that, I'm not suggesting that you don't have to. I'm just asking like.
Yeah, I think you need to be careful. Meaning which hand is doing the pulling and which hand is stationary.
Does it help if you have your what's in your mind, what you're doing? I'm going for that piece of meat. There's a bone there. I'm going for the piece of meat. And in getting that piece of meat, things are moving around.
Saying the eye of the tornado is right over your plate. I know I was actually just thinking about this past Shabbos. I forget exactly what I was eating. But yeah, I think this is like a regular occurrence that what you wanna pull, what you are pulling out, whether it's a knife or a fork or whatever, you're pulling the item, you're keeping stationary whatever you don't want, and what you're pulling towards you, away from you, whatever you're trying to separate, is what you want to eat.
It's on a bite by bite basis. Because I'm cutting, it looks like the whole piece of chicken, I'm eating the whole piece of chicken, but right now I'm just cutting off one piece and eating that one piece.
What do you mean?
So less, whatever I don't want to eat in this bite.
Oh, okay. So
less, like if I'm eating a piece of schnitzel, I want to eat the whole piece of schnitzel.
Right.
I don't want to eat the whole, you know, 6-inch piece right now.
Right, so that's not a tarovus in the first place, right? One piece of schnitzel can't possibly be
But once I cut it, maybe the point at which I cut it. Or whatever it is.
Very, very hard. But bone is a whole other question. Rav Moshe says, you know, skin isn't considered to be a taro. Skin is considered to be, even if I don't want the skin of the chicken, that's still not considered to be, the actual psoles vis-a-vis the chicken. At least not objectively or not. You know, it's just not a tarovus in the first place. So that, you know, need some shaping. Hopefully that'll all become a little bit more clear as we proceed here. Just one other item, and really the final word here from the Mishnah Berurah becomes very important, just in helping to assess and to frame really everything that's going to come afterwards in our conversations about Borer. So, what exactly happened? Like this seems like just an almost arbitrary list of criteria that are necessary in order to either make something either usser or mutter. Why? What do they have to do with one another? What are they all adding up to? So here's what the Mishnah Berurah says. And this is very clear from Rishonim, etc. The Eino Mutter Livur Kiim Ba'ofen Shehizari B'chol HaShlosha Ofanim. If you're going to sort, you got to do it in the manner that is going to abide by all three of these criteria. Why? Dehainu, what are they? Dehainu Shehivur HaOcham and Apsala, separate the food from the waste. V'gam Shehabrira Yihya B'yadu V'lo B'kli. And also that you're performing this act with your hand and not with a tool. V'gam Shehadaito Le'echom Yad. And also that your intent be to eat it immediately. Sha'az, then... Lav derech brirahi, it's not considered derech brir, it's not considered to be act of separation. Ella derech achilahi, then it's an act of eating. Effectively, what we know before we even get started is that eating has to be mutter on Shabbos. That we know. That's just axiomatic. When we speak about melacha, we're not speaking about the kinds of things that are just so... Obviously necessary for basic human functioning that would be considered an act of malacha. That's just living. That's not. I'm not doing anything constructive other than just basically surviving and doing the kinds of things that we're supposed to do. I'm not going beyond the sphere, beyond the realm of just basic functioning. Malach is more than that. Malach is actual construction. Malach is putting something together. Malach is accomplishing something. So therefore, if we see an act of separating that effectively really abides by the criteria of regular eating, then it's got to be mutter. Now, drilling down on that, what that means is these three items. If you abide by these three items, it means that what you're doing is an act of eating as opposed to an act of sorting or separating. You might ask, okay, well, what if I genuinely am eating? It's just that I pulled the bone out of my chicken. Well, then you may be eating. That might be your intent. That might be your kavana. But it's being done, let's say, in something less than a manner of typical achila. And it's also being done more along the lines of an act of actual construction, an actual malacha. I could, meaning we know that bishul is asur on Shabbos. We don't say, well, bishul must be mutter because after all, I'm just cooking in order to be able to survive, in order to be able to eat. Right? I could eat or I could prepare food in such a way so as to certainly be in violation of malacha. But that's the idea. That's the kavanah.
Isn't it, I mean, in the case of many malachas, but that... We are creating criteria that essentially is separating it, right? It's derech achila, and therefore it's not the derech malacha. But really, we're creating separation between the ways that you would do malacha that would make something malacha, that would make it more of a work item, and turning it. There are ways in which you can do things that are similar, but we have to separate it somehow from ways that are work.
So what is the dividing line? The dividing line is what is considered to be just an activity that we know with certainty must be absolutely mutter. So correct. So right. So these are going to be those criteria that draw that line and that frame the distinction between regular eating, regular human functioning, and what would actually be an act of malacha, what would be genuine construction.
Those things are also constructive. Because the ways you do, once you start to use, if you were to do something irregularly that you might use eating, when you start to use a kli and you start to do it in preparation, you start to do
right.
It, so then that starts to feel more like malacha.
Okay, fair enough.
In that way, it's doing more.
Right, so you're looking at it sort of from the inverse, that it's not that.
It's both. I'm not saying it's.
Yeah, it does become, we'll see that even when we have scenarios that seem to even not necessarily fit within these parameters, but we say, oh, but come on, that's definitely just an act of eating. Then that'll still be mutter. We'll see, that'll still be mutter, even though ostensibly it seems to be more constructive. And we'll get to those kinds of things.
What is the makar of Barir in the Beis HaMikdash?
Good question.
What is the malacha?
And it sounds like the opposite, because it sounds like when they did the karbanot, they took out the good stuff and they burned down the...
So it comes down to a machlokas as to what the nature generally of malacha is, right? What is malacha? Is malacha the kinds of activities that were employed for the functioning and the upkeep of the Mishkan, or exclusively for the construction of the Mishkan itself? The way Boer is included in what's called Sidur Depas, right? The way that bread was baked. But it's debated as to whether or not baking bread is actually can really serve as a power. They baked bread in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we know. We know. But the question is, can that really serve as an actual paradigm for what is or is not malacha? So that's machlokas. It may, meaning it could be that since they had to bake bread in the Beis HaMikdash in order for the ongoing functioning of the Beis HaMikdash, therefore baking bread and everything that it encompasses is considered to be malacha. So Borer would have been literally separating grain from chaff. Separating grain from chaff and separating whatever other impurities still ended up in the flour and separating those out and sifting and all of that. More popular assumption is that no, we speak about Sidur Depas just as a mnemonic. It's much easier to remember the various steps that are employed in baking bread. It happens to be that those activities overlap with the activities that were done in order to create the Beis HaMikdash, but there was no bread that needed to be baked in order to create the Beis HaMikdash. But what they did need to do was separate and sort different elements and botanicals and berries and whatever for the purpose of dyes to create all the wool and the... I don't know if the Big Day Kahuna would be included, but... regardless, the ureos and et cetera, for the sake of creating all those things, then Boer would have been necessary. And the way that typically speaking you would do borer is that you would remove what you want to end up with is the good, and you want to leave the psalus aside. Whether that means that the psalus ends up in the sifter and the food runs through, or the food remains in the sifter and the psalus runs through. Either way, that's considered to be borer of the Mishkan, borer of the construction of the Mishkan, borer of the functioning of the Mishkan. That's what's us, or anything less that's really more achila based is going to be mutter. Question is what we mean. One question, at least tonight's question, is what do we mean when we speak about separating the good from the bad or the bad from the good? So if you're dealing with flour and chaff, and if you're dealing with, I don't know, berries and stems, and if you're dealing with nuts and shells, then it's very easy to conceive of one being objective, absolute ochel, and one being objective, absolute psoles. Overwhelmingly, the cases that we actually interact with are far more nuanced than that, because we're not usually dealing with ochel and psoles, we're dealing with ochel and ochel. So where does that put us with respect to sorting, whether we're talking about actual edible items, or we're just talking about things that are all good, I don't know, socks, and napkins, and silverware, and all those kinds of things, they're all good. I love them all. Separate but equal, they all have their own place, and they all have their own role. It's just that I might need one now, or I might have an interest in one now, as opposed to some other things later. So, what exactly is the story? So this is a little bit of lumdus. We'll see how much time we have to like really delve into the lumdus. I really want to get into the halacha lemaisa. But it's worth noting that this may well be the subject of a machlokas rishonim between Tosos, really the Rush as well, and the Rambam. So this Tosfos is from Shabbos Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Tosfos there says as follows. So there's actually something of a correction in the gears that Tosfos make here. Hayu lefanav shnei minei ochlin. The Gemara itself says hayu lefanav ochlin, but not necessarily shnei minei ochlin. So this sounds like it's really our issue. Shnei minei ochlin, two different types of food that are right in front of you, and they're mixed together, whatever. So v'chen pirush Rabbeinu Chananel also said that this is the correct girsa, that the Gemara is explicitly making reference to two different types of foods. The be'ochel mitoch ochel, that when you have a mixture of ochel within other ochel, still shaycha berira. You can still have this issue of breira. Sheborer oso she'eno chafetz le'echol, that you're separating the one that you don't want to eat. Mitoch, compliments to the chef. Shkoyach. Mitoch oso shirotzel echol. Delish. Oso shirotzel le'echol, from the one that you do want to eat. The oso she'eno chafetz bo chashiv psoles legabi oso she'chafetz le'echol. That it's all subjective. Whichever one I do want to eat is considered to be ochel. Whichever one I don't want to eat is considered to be less than ochel. V'chein mashma b'yushalmi d'garas habara ochlim mitoch ochlim, chizki amar, etc., etc. So, Tosfos say that in any mixture, irrespective of what we're dealing with, whether we're dealing with food and garbage, food and trash, food and refuse, or we're dealing with genuinely food and food. Either way, it's always going to be considered to be an act of borer, or is potential to be considered an act of borer, because whichever one I don't want right now, and more on that emphasis in a little bit, right now, but whatever I don't want is going to be considered psoles, is going to be considered waste, even though, objectively speaking, it's absolutely food, and indeed, I might otherwise even have an interest in eating it myself. So, Tosfos really broadens the scope of what we might be dealing with when we have a conversation about borer. The Rambam is a little bit different.
So the Rambam, almost like a Gavra versus Chefetz. So this is what on the Gavra, it's on obviously, if you have an ag mixture, you like chocolate, I like vanilla M&Ms.
Right.
So if I take it out, I may be butter and you may be chayav, based on what our own specific, unique desires are.
Correct. It's certainly subjective.
The action is the same.
Right.
But it depends on the gavra.
It's certainly subjective as opposed to objective. It may actually be that the interest of the gavra actually reinterprets what the cheftz itself is. But I don't want to... I don't want to cross out my eyes too much. But certainly that's true, that you could have two people sitting across from one another, and we'll speak about that in a little bit. You could have two people sitting across from each other. One person likes X, and the other person detests X, and the removal of X from the rest of the chalent or soup or whatever might be the difference between just eating and actual borer. So it gets a little dicey.
Bone people, they could either both.
Maybe he wants the bone. So it is possible.
If you,
Jack Spratton, everybody. Everybody. Throw them all into the bus.
Jack Spratton, his wife.
The what?
Jack Spratton, his wife.
Why? What, yeah.
Jack Spratton, we didn't know fat, his wife, we didn't know lean.
Oh, there you go.
Between the two of them, they looked funny.
So it's mutter for everyone. So it's either us or either they're both chayev.
One likes half the food that's on the plate, and the other one likes filling.
As long as they're eating the right and separating the right half. Otherwise, yeah. they both have a lot of explaining to do. The Rambam. The Rambam is a little bit different, or at least the Rambam may be different. There's a lot of debate as to what exactly the Rambam means. The Rambam in the first half of the Halakha, you could breeze through it if you like, but the Rambam in the first half of the Halakha deals with the kinds of typical scenarios of Ochel and Psoles that we would expect. If you go down like midway through, last word on the line is Hayu. Hayu Lefanav, which is basically a quote from the Gemara that this Tosfos was on. Hayu Lefanav Shnei Minei Ochlin. So let's say you have two types of food, mu'uravim, that are mixed together. Again, two types of food. Borer echad me'echad, he can select one from the other, u'meniach, and leave it le'echol miyad. He can leave it le'echol miyad. The Rambam is not labeling either one as psoles, and it at least sounds like the Rambam is saying that he can remove one and be meniach, and then perhaps anyway, this has some both Achronim and Rishonim interpret the Rambam, that he can eat whatever is left. That I can remove this and then I can eat whatever's left. Example, I don't like the chicken in my soup. But chicken is ochel and soup is ochel. So Hayulafan of Shnei Minei Ochel, he has two different types of food in front of him, Uravin, that are mixed together. Borer echad me echad, I can remove the chicken from the soup, umei niach, and leave it, le'echol miyad, in order to then go about eating as long as that eating is being done right away. As long as I'm going to eat the soup right away, there's nothing wrong with removing the chicken from that and setting it aside. What would Tosfos say about that case? How do I know what Tosfos would say? I'm certain what Tosfos would say about that case. What Tosfos would say about that case, if I don't want the chicken and I want to remove the chicken in order to leave that aside, then I've effectively just called that chicken psoles.
Maybe because it's hard meal when you go, I don't want it. Remember it's hard meal where you don't want an animal.
Could be.
If you have an animal after his man, you can leave him a certain amount of time, but it doesn't sound like you're going to eat it eventually.
Then he's chayev, right? The imbir v'niach lachas man afilu lubo bayom kagon shabir b'shachas lechol bin arbayim. Then chayev.
Right. In that case,
anything less than that, as long as I'm eating it immediately, even though what I'm removing is not what I want. I want what's left, and I'm removing what I don't want. That's still mutter according to the Rambam. Again, according to that read of the Rambam. The Rambam is kind of ambiguous. That's not so clear that that's how to read the Rambam, but many do.
When you have lefomiyad, you put down the psoles to eat the ochel right away?
I put down the psoles to... Maybe. You could read the Rambam that way.
Put down the psoles to eat the psoles.
It could be that, no, what he's saying is you're removing this and you're being maniac in order to then to eat it, to eat that which you removed. Could be that that's how to read.
And then
it would, right, and then it would effectively be the same. But but many do read the Rambam like that. It does sound like it's the more straightforward reading of the Rambam, that the idea that you're taking this out and being meniach, and then you're going about eating, right? And I don't usually eat whatever I'm meniach. When I'm meniach is when I'm leaving aside. What I'm eating is the other item. It sounds like I removed something, I'm putting it aside, and then I'm going about eating first item.
The nafkamina sounds like for the Rambam would be, I still want the chicken from this, but I just don't want it in the soup.
Yeah, right now.
But that would still be there.
So I'll eat it afterward.
Why do you get that impression?
Because the Meniach is the object.
If I'm being Meniach.
Well, Meniach is the verb, but it's referring back to whatever was Borer. Whatever you took it out.
An English reading, says that you're taking the ochel from the psoles, and you're going to eat it right away.
I think
you're focusing on the cell, right? I don't see that at all.
He's taking out umeniach. That meniach is what he took out.
He took out umeniach.
Oh, you're saying meniach is going on whatever he left in the bowl.
No, Meniach is going on.
He's saying it's okay.
There's Miyad and then there's Lachar Zman, right? Hours later. So maybe the Miyad means still within that meal. So he's taking it out of the soup. He's eating the soup and then having the chicken right away still within that meal. He's still in the process of eating.
Oh, I'll tell you why
it's
a Miyad.
And not like he's putting it away for some other.
He's bavarning. Yeah. Why is he maniac? He's going on the thing. If you're eating, why is he maniac? The answer is because he's saying you might have thought that it's only mutter. If you're mamish miyad, you go from the path to my mouth. He's saying no. Even in maniac,
it doesn't say that's umeniyah.
No, Rambam says the first case you're chayv
to. Umeniyah is afilu.
Which first case?
First case of maniac miyad.
No, that's mutter.
So I'm saying that it's mutter to... As long as you're within the same meal, you're sitting and eating, and you move it over to the side, you're not doing border. Like, I want this run right before the other one. Maybe that's why it's
So what will you do?
So wait, I think it's complicated the umeniach because it's the hanicha, I feel like, right?
What is the umeniach either? What is the Torah?
The first one is definitely not talking about eating.
He's leaving it aside. I'm taking this out not in order to eat it, I'm taking this out just in order to put it down.
I don't want to get too caught up.
Suffice it to say that at least, because again, I mean, this is very gishmak, but just for the purposes of halacha lemaisa, it's worth noting that there are those acharonim who do learn the Rambam that way, which sets up just this very interesting machlokas between the Rambam and Tosos. What is that going to mean for us halacha lemaisa? So it depends. For Ashkenazim, it's not going to mean much for us halacha lemaisa. The Mechaber basically quotes the Rambam directly. The Ramah adds in a couple of words. I don't want to get this gets into sort of like a very, very technical read of the Ramah's insertion of a couple of words into the Mechaber. You can take a look at it if you want on your own, but it's the very next Sif. It's Sif Beis. And the Mechaber effectively quotes the Rambam directly. So understanding what the Rambam's intention is effectively bound up in what the Mechaber's intentions are. Either way, what is clear is that from an Ashkenazic perspective, we incline towards Tosfos and other, the Rush also learns that way, that effectively, in the act of Borer, I'm now defining one as being Ochel and one as being Psolas. It may well be that the Rambam means the exact same thing. It's possible. But certainly that's what we paskin, that's what we hold. That if I choose, if I'm selecting to remove one, then I've basically just said that item is psoles, even though it might be perfectly edible and perfectly delicious. Couple of interesting nafkaminas to consider between Tosos and again this read that we're making within the Rambam.
If you're eating a salad and you move the tomato over to get the lettuce, that's separating. Even if you're going to eat the tomato later,
you're not separating it.
It's still part of the taro. I don't know that you've ever
Rambam miyot in it.
I don't know if you've ever
moving it over to eat right away, right in the.
I don't know that that's an act of bovary in the first place. I mean, if you haven't actually removed it from the tyroves, then that
it actually physically removed.
Yeah, that's not actually, you know, just kind of like moving things.
So to dig into something to get to something at the bottom.
As long, I mean, you're basically yeah. We'll get to this maybe next week, but effectively you're maintaining the mixture itself, right? You're not really removing anything from the mixture until you get to the thing at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And when you take the thing at the bottom, is that borer, is that not borer, is that mutter, is that not mutter? But so a couple of questions. Let's take the following scenario. Let's say a candy dish. So you have certain things that spill over from one of the compartments into the other compartment. I want the gummies, and when a couple of the chocolates go overboard into the gummies. So I'm going to get rid of the chocolates in order to be able to eat the gummies. So I separate the chocolate. I remove the chocolates. Chocolates are delicious. Absolutely delicious, and they're great, and they're wonderful, and you know, maybe we'll eat it. But right now, I want the gummies. So what's the story with that? What's the story with that? According to Tosfos, that's a problem. If my intention is not to eat the chocolates right now, the reason why I'm picking up the chocolate is not to eat it. It's in order to get rid of it so that I can be misakein, so that I can leave unfettered what's behind, and that's really what I want to eat. I want to get to the gummies. That would be an act of borer. It may well be that according to the Rambam, it's really not problematic at all. Meaning, this is an important point. The Rambam does say, by the way, the final word in the Rambam is that if you do this act but you do it for later, that's still a problem. But not because I've separated psolas. Separating food and food is also a problem. Separating this food from this food is problematic. That's an act of borer. But if I do it for miyad, if I do it for right now, then it's going to be mutter. Then it's acceptable because that's considered to be an act of achila. So if I'm removing the chocolate in order to get to the gummies right now, that may well be mutter, perhaps according to the Rambam. Either way, that's not how the Ramah paskins. Another scenario, had another nafkamina. What about, So what if I want to, you bought a mixture of jelly bellies, and I want to separate them. I want to separate them by color. So that I can serve individual bowls of single color jelly bellies to all of my OCD guests, who otherwise will just go into conniptions if they see them all together. So here it might actually be flipped on its head, right? According to the Rambam, so I've separated ochel from, you can't separate ochel from ochel. I can do it if it's for right now, but if I'm really doing it for later, I'm doing it at night because tomorrow I'm going to have, you know, a kiddush on my house, people are going to come over. That's not miyad. Separating ochel from ochel, that's a problem. According to Tosos, ochel from ochel is a problem because in that act of separation, I've declared that one is psoles. Am I doing that here? I'm not saying one is psoles. I'm not saying that I want to remove this because I want to eat this. I'm not saying that I want to remove this because I want to eat this. I'm just separating them because I want them to be independent. We're going to eat them at the same time, parallel, different bowls, all at the same time. Is that really an act of borer at all? So Shlomo Zalman quoted in Archel Shabbos, speaking about that case, and he says that yes, it's really, it may even be in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, but that Rav Shlomo Zalman says that that's still an act of borer, meaning what Tosas are basically saying is that the moment you pick it up because I want what's in the bowl to be in the bowl and I don't want this to be in the bowl along with everything else, then that's an act of borer. Whether it's ochel from psolos or psolos from ochel. Either way, if it's not miyad, it's going to be problematic. But the act of selection, the act of separation, is going to transform this into an act of borer, even though my intent is that I'm going to eat them both at a later point.
It was always this like kind of trick. Not what you don't want, but I do want this color.
Right.
All of this. This is what I want. Of this color.
Right.
And I want all of this color over here. You know, I'm saying it's a year.
Is that miyad? But is that for right now? So if it's not for miyad, then how do you do that?
Well, it's the same thing with.
But I mean, I can't even separate ochel if it was genuinely ochel from psolos, like real ochel. That when I'm pulling this out, I don't want any of this, and I only want this, and I'm going to put it here because this is what I want to eat. I just want to eat in 3 hours from now. That's usher.
And then the same thing with all the different colors. I want to eat all of them.
Right. I want to eat all of them. But the moment that I pick up, why am I picking up the pink? Because I want the pink as opposed to everything else in the bowl. mean, that's what Shlomo Zalman is saying. That the act of saying that I want the pink over here, as opposed to all the other colors that are still in the bowl, is effectively saying that the rest of them are psolos and this one is ochel. And to put that ochel removed from the psolos into a new bowl for tomorrow is still going to be an act of...
I mean, it's actually it doesn't matter which one's the ochel, which one's the psolos.
Correct, right. Maybe that's semantics. Call whichever one psolos.
Someone out. Yeah. Yeah. I want this out. I want this separated from the group.
Either because I want this in this bowl, or because I don't want this with all the other ones. Either way, you're effectively defining one group as psolos and one group as ochel, which is mutter if you're doing so miyad, but it's usser if you're doing so for, let's say, later on. If you're doing so for a few hours from now, certainly for tomorrow. Few other items that we'll just discuss quickly outside. Some interesting. These are practical. I've been asked about these. So we sort of touched on this. I have a bowl of soup. And I don't know if you find that, the yellows, whatever you call them, right? The croutons? Yeah. So different, the yellows. So when they're in the clear broth, so it's nice and they float and they're buoyant and they're at the top of the bowl. If there's too much other stuff in there, and it gets like a weird kind of consistency. It's not gishen. Then you're eating like solid. It's crunchy. It doesn't work. So let's say I want to remove the vegetables from the soup. I want to remove the chicken from the soup. And I'm going to eat them as soon as I'm done with my soup. I'm going to eat them in 5 minutes from now. I'm taking out the carrot. I'm taking out the chicken. In order to eat them in 5 minutes from now, I just don't want them in the soup right now. I want to eat the broth first with the mandolin. And then afterwards, I want to have the chicken and the vegetables.
That's what I thought. That's what Rambam was saying.
The first case of the Rambam.
That's what you thought the Rambam was saying.
Right away after you finished.
I hear.
And Rambam said that was okay.
But if you're doing that for later, okay, so what would Tosos say? In the world of Tosos, would that be okay or not?
No, because Tosos is saying that it doesn't. You're making up solos right now.
So this is actually
the act of taking it. How's that problem?
Meniach lefo miyach. Rambam said lefo meniach. You put it aside. You eat it right away.
Because
here you're putting it aside. You eat it in 5 minutes.
Because his other example of not miyad.
Mordechai's saying that's what he's reading into the. That's exactly what Rambam's saying. What he's saying meniach lecho miyad is he means that I'm going to first eat the soup and then immediately after eating the soup, then I'm going to eat the chicken and that's when it's mutter. I don't know whether you read in the Rambam or not. Let's assume within Tosfos would that be acceptable? Within Tosfos,
it was Tosfos you're speaking of. You're making a psolos by taking it out.
So this is a machlokas actually between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Eliashiv. Rav Moshe, which is not a tshuva, at least not that I'm aware of, but Rav Eider, and Rav Eider's Hilchos Shabbos quotes his Rebbe, quotes Rav Moshe, as saying that this is usser for that very reason. It makes a lot of sense, because the act of removing the chicken, don't tell me that you're going to eat it in 5 minutes from now. When you remove it, you're saying, I'm removing it and I don't want this. So by putting it on the side, I don't care if you're going to eat it in 5 minutes from now. It doesn't matter. Right now you're saying, I want the soup, but I don't want the chicken. That's an act of Borer, it's an act of declaring the chicken psolos, even if only for the time being. Rav Eliashiv says no. Rav Eliashiv says you can't consider something psolos if you're planning on eating it in 5 minutes from now. How could that be? It's impossible. If I'm saying that I'm going to pull this out and I'm going to eat it in 5 minutes from now, I'm going to eat it as soon as I'm done with the soup, then that's not an act of removing psolos. I'm removing ochel effectively in order to eat it. So he says that's mutter. To give you at least this is the way that I'm understanding it, and you could probably argue with the actual terminology that I'm going to use. But to me, this comes down to how do you view I don't even want to use the word criterion. How do you view miyad?
That's what I was
going to
say. It's machlekes and what la'alter.
What is la'alter? What is la'alter supposed to do? Meaning not just in terms of how long a span of time do we have, but what is the nature of miyad? Is miyad a t'nai? Is miyad a criterion that you need to achieve miyad? It has to be for immediate use, otherwise it's borer. If you want to say that it's derech achila, then you have to have miyad. But if you don't have miyad, then it's, I don't know. So that then you have to sort of like decide things on their own merits. Or is miyad actually fundamental to defining what you're doing in the first place? Meaning as follows. Rav Eliashiv may be saying that miyad becomes fundamental. Let's say koveya. Miyad sets the parameters for this act. Anything that you do within the parameters of miyad is going to be considered to be samachal seuda. It's going to be acceptable. Meaning, if I'm pulling out something that I'm going to eat within a time frame of miyad, then that's derech achila. If I'm using my hand and I removed something edible that I'm going to eat within this time frame, how could that possibly be borer? Miyad is giving you the framework within which to operate. According to Rav Moshe, no. In order to be mutter, you have to have miyad also. But having miyad alone doesn't tell you whether this is ochel or psoles. So the very act of removing the chicken and saying, ugh, I don't want this chicken, that's what's playing in my head, that becomes an act of borer, even though I'm going to eat it immediately thereafter. Just to dramatize this a little bit.
So the time factor doesn't come into play.
It's not going to be a saving grace. It's necessary, but it's not going to save you. Just
says it is. Rambam says he said he grants that it is miyad, but says that it's psoles.
Yeah, if you're going to eat it, yeah, if you're going to eat it,
that's called miyad.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that because some of chosuuda is always miyad, right? I mean, that's all within 5 minutes. Is we give a much broader time frame for that.
The fact that you eat something else is sort of like. It's like pukka, you're moving it. And you're
we don't say that for preparing, let's say, a second course right before the seuda. I don't have to prepare each course only as it comes out. I prepare the entire seuda, and then I have challah, and then I have fish, and then I get the salad, and that's what I allegedly did borer for.
Separating the vegetables to have the soup. Let's say you separate the vegetables to have the vegetables. And then you would agar eat the soup, so I assume Rosh would say that.
That would certainly be fine, for sure. That's fine. Yeah.
But here it's.
So just to get, I just wanted to dramatize this a little bit. According to Rav Moshe, think about this. If I threw out the soup, it would be mutter. But it's only that because I'm eating the soup that this becomes aser. Right? If the soup were to go to waste, I want to eat this chicken. I just want to eat the soup first. So I'm going to get rid of the chicken so that I can eat the soup. If I intended to spill out the soup and not eat it, then that would be mutter. Because I'd be doing an act of borer that's certainly miyad. It's certainly samach l'sud. It's immediate use. I'm going to eat it in 5 minutes from now, in 30 seconds, 60 seconds from now, however long it takes me. If I spilled the soup out, it would be mutter. But because I'm eating the soup, even if it takes me only the same amount of time to eat the soup as to pour the soup down the drain, if I eat the soup, now it's usser. Because vis-a-vis the soup that I just ate, this chicken is considered psoles. If it wasn't eating the soup, then the chicken would be considered ochel.
Then everything would have been psoles?
Then everything would have been ochel. Then the chicken would have been ochel. Why is the chicken psoles? Because I'm removing it from this soup that I so desperately want to eat. Okay. But if I was removing it from the soup that I so desperately wanted to pour down the drain, then it would be mutter. So you could. So what? I'm not saying that's wrong. It's just amazing. It's just fascinating. Please. For Rav Yashiv, think about this. We would say that if I want to prepare soup and chicken for people to eat at the table, and I wanted to do it 20 minutes before I started the seuda, because I'm preparing the seuda, that would all be fine and dandy. That's totally okay. Right, I'm removing the chicken from the soup so that people can eat the chicken on its own. That's not an act of birth. That's miyah. That's samach l'seuda. That's all acceptable. That's all okay. How could it be any worse to do it when I'm sitting at the table? I put it on the plate that I'm about to eat from in 5 minutes from now. Says Rav Yashiv, that's got to be mutter. Got to be mutter. So I'm not saying that Rav Moshe Chas V'Shalom. I'm not suggesting that Rav Moshe is wrong just because it creates this. Just because of the intensity and the surprising quality of the nafgamina, but it's just very interesting to think about. I just wanted to get to one last shaila. It's a very, very interesting one. I think this comes up all the time. Probably more so if you have maybe every family is different. I find that invariably my plate becomes a garbage disposal. Any other? I don't know if others can. Yeah, you find this?
I'm the
absolutely. Player. It's like I sometimes I think that my dining room is on a slant, and that everything just sort of gravitates towards my plate. The bad word doesn't want their stuff. And I put it on Tati's plate. Put it on Tati. Yeah, sure. I'm the human garbage disposal. So let's say you have this sort of scenario, right? Soup comes to the table. Chalon comes to the table. Got Chalon on my plate. I don't like potatoes. So, Who wants my potato? And invariably there'll be a taker. Who wants my potato? I'll have your potato. Great, Gavaldi. You know, one man's psolus is another man's ochel. Is that mutter russer? Spear the potato? Who wants my potato?
You mean the person took it out and said, "Want my potato?"
I took it out. I don't want it. I don't want it.
If I wanted the potato, I would have to take it.
So not necessarily us. Okay, so not necessarily. So
give me away the other kavana. I'm giving away a potato.
So that's exactly. Yes, that's exactly what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, "Again, I saw this. This is. I think I saw this in Shmir Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it depends on the kavana that you have. If the reason why I'm taking it out." If the reason why I'm taking it out is because I know who likes potatoes. I know who likes potatoes. You know, Yanka likes potatoes. So I take it out of my chalent in order to give it to him. Why am I giving it? I'm not so generous. Why am I really parting with this potato? Because I don't want it. If I wanted it, I would eat it myself. But I know that he wants it. So the act of removing it from my chalent is effectively to give him a potato. That's to give him what he considers ochel. That would be mutter. For me to pick it up because I don't want it and... I'm not worried about finding it. It's not going to go in the trash. I'll find a taker for this. Potato, people love potatoes. I don't want it in mine. That primarily is my kavanah when I remove it from my chalent. Who wants my potato? And I know that somebody's going to take it. He says, that's
usher. What's the difference? The difference is the one you have an identified human being?
I have an identified person to whom I'm going to give it and that they're going to consume it as ochel. So meaning effectively, I'm just...
What if you know someone's going to want it? Both times your primary reason is because you don't want the potato.
Right, 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 right. That's the reason why I'm being so generous. But one is an act of generosity with a known recipient. So that effectively, it's almost like I'm acting as his shliach, right? I know that he wants the potato, so because he wants it, I'm acting on his behalf to remove from it. It's uncouth for him to reach across the table and to stick his fork in my plate and to grab it off my plate. I'll do it on his behalf. I'm giving this ochel to him from everything else on my plate that he would consider to be psalas. I'm acting for him. But if I don't have that specified or that designated recipient yet, then I'm just doing it for myself. I'm just removing it for myself. I'm removing it because I don't want it, knowing that somebody's going
to
eat it.
I want to give it to whoever takes it. I want to give it to someone.
I just want to get rid of it.
They're both eating
it. Your machshava is the determining factor. In other words, it's the same action.
Right.
It depends on what your machshava is.
So Shlomo is having trouble saying that there's even a chiluk in that kavanah happens to be. I'm not saying the mechanism. Yeah. I'm not saying that this. You know, it's like because otherwise, you know, zakhan la.
It's not. It's just working. I can be a good citizen. I can go to. You know, I can. You know, we get tzedakah all the time. We don't know who's going to. So, like, I don't know. I want to give away a potato.
So you know that two people really love that potato, and they're going to fight it out. I know one of those two people are going
to
eat it.
Yeah, okay. So if I know that it's... No, so if I know that I'm giving it... If I know that I'm giving it to them, like, my kids know that I will eat anything. Because this is what comes from, you know, growing up in a, under the iron curtain. I'll eat anything that comes. So they know that. So I think that, I hope, I don't know, when they take it out, knowing that, oh, I can give this, the truth is I'm not sure. Hopefully, oh, I know that Tati will eat this, so I take it out in order to give it to him and to give it to him specifically, as opposed to let me take this out because I'm hopeful somebody's going to want it. I figure somebody will want it. But why'd you take it out? You took it out in order to get rid of it. By the way, so I did see in the deer shoe that Rav Nissim Karelitz, Zichrono Levracha actually, Rav Nissim Karelitz actually argues on this point. He feels that in both instances it should be usher. Right, so at least it's more consistent in terms of how you would think of the two different machshavos. Shlomo Zalman saw a chiluk, that there was a distinction between saying that somebody else, that I'm hoping that somebody else might take it, but without knowing that it's going to him, how could I be said to be giving somebody else ochel? It'll become ochel at some point, but the moment that I take it out, I'm snatching psoles from the taroves, hoping that somebody turns it into ochel, as opposed to, I know that he wants it. I know that he's going to take it. He told me that he's going to enjoy it. So therefore, when I remove it, I'm really removing ochel on his behalf. If you're comfortable with it, yesh, yesh, meal bav lismoch. That's meaningless. It's not like Bishel. It's not like Bishel. Bishel, oh, I didn't realize the burner was on, but I put it down. If I take it off the burner, so then I can, okay, so then maybe it was an issue of, you know, Chazar, but it's not Bishel.
Person that he really wasn't taking up silence. Picks it up and then puts it back.
Like it could, no, it could. I mean, I like that because it could be that really when people drive on Shabbos, maybe, like, but Alpi Machshava, they didn't really, really, they were walking. Really, they were walking. My Kavano. I hear. No, meaning that's according to, that is an act of Bower. You did it already. To stick it back in is, but it doesn't mean you can necessarily. Yeah, how does that work? It was misakeim. Yo, I said, can I use it now? Can I eat the rest of the chalb if I did? But I don't know. We'll have to get there. I'm not sure myself. We'll get there.
No, I know that you're going to eat because you eat.